It's time now for The Way We Hear It.
That's right. We welcome you to this week's The Way We Hear It. All of the latest news, scoops, and rumors around the NFL. I'm Dan Mott with Pro Football Weekly, and I'm glad you're joining us today. We have a lot to discuss this week as we go around the AFC and NFC East on the offensive side of the ball and look at some of the biggest news on various teams. We start in the AFC East and the New York Jets. As we discussed last week, the Jets are dealing with an unusual quarterback situation. Are the receivers, running backs, and tight ends good enough to make the QB shine? Hub Arkish explains.
There's no question about that. Brandon Marshall, you could argue a perennial Pro Bowler, fell off a little bit his last year with the Bears. First time he was really banged up, but had a huge comeback year with the Jets last year. The problem, he's going to be 33 years old. You look at Eric Decker, he's sitting there at 30. And where it really gets interesting here, the Jets are actually pretty well loaded at running back. They've brought in Matt Forte. They've got Kyrie Robinson, Bilal Powell, and Zach Stacy all behind him. But tight end, iffy at best. Jason Morrow, Zach Sudfeld. You got Kellen Davis is the only one of the three who's caught an NFL pass. Then you turn around and you look at wide receiver behind Marshall and Decker. There's really nothing there. You've got Devin Smith, who they drafted high last year. He only managed to play in 10 games, 9 catches for 115 yards. And Quincy Enunwa, player that, you know, they kind of like, but no NFL catches. So it's basically Marshall and Decker in the running game and no quarterback. We've got to come back to the quarterback with this team alone. We wrote extensively about this at ProFootballWeekly.com this week. There's no way that this team, after being the only 10-win team in the NFL last year, can afford to come back with Geno Smith at quarterback. They're not going to play Bryce Petty or Christian Hackenberg. The prevailing wisdom is that they will find a way to get Ryan Fitzpatrick signed. But here's the bottom line. We did a little study on this. I talked to GMs around the league, Arthur, and it turns out of the 21 starting quarterbacks in the NFL who are not on their rookie contracts, there are only two. One is Tyrod Taylor, who I mistakenly left out of the column at ProFootballWeekly.com. And the other, of course, is Mark Sanchez. Sanchez is going to make $4.5 million this year. Taylor is going to make about the same. The other 21, the lowest paid in the bunch, is at $16 million a year. The average salary for these guys is $17.5 million. Fitzpatrick had one of the best years of the bunch, and the Jets have offered him less than half what everybody else is making. And there are a lot of GMs around the league scratching their heads saying, they don't know what Mike McKagan's doing, how he thinks this is going to work out for him.
Yeah, there's no question that's a lowball offer. It's kind of the same approach that John Elway has taken this offseason to the position. But I have to counter, just to play devil's advocate, how many other teams are looking for a starting quarterback? What's Fitzpatrick's other option? I agree, $8 million is way underpaid for what he did last year, but there's a lot of people who also think he's just good enough to get you beat, like in Week 17 last year.
Well, and Kevin, here's the thing. You're dealing with the Harvard guy here. This is the unknown with everybody, because he has said he will sit out. He's 33 years old. He's played with 6 NFL teams, underpaid or not, and I don't think he's worth $16 million. He's already made a lot of money, and this is not a guy who's going to throw caution to the wind if he feels he's been taken advantage of, and that's the part that nobody can really get their arms around. Will Fitzpatrick really sit this thing out if the Jets continue to disrespect him?
Well, it looks like we're going to find out in the next couple days. There's a report that the two sides have one of their deadlines is this upcoming Tuesday, right before the Jets begin their OTAs. Because when the teams get out there, that they want their quarterback, Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, they want Ryan Fitzpatrick there. You know, so that's going to be kind of a deadline. If you're Fitzpatrick, as Arthur just mentioned, the only thing you're hoping for other than this is if a starting quarterback goes down somewhere, and nobody's hoping for that, and then maybe that team calls you, but they're not going to give you a lot of money, maybe a few million dollars to kind of step in for them. So Ryan Fitzpatrick's best chance to play and get good money is to play for the Jets. He knows that. And he has the right to work for as much money as he can. I don't buy that he's just going to sit out for the season. I think eventually he'll be there, and he'll be their starting quarterback. That's my best bet.
Hearing interesting things out of Miami as well. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill is the guy. That's one of the big reasons that Adam Gase was such an easy choice for the Dolphins as their new head coach. He is perceived to be certainly an offensive mind, possibly a bit of a quarterback whisperer. But they've got a problem at running back, kind of similar to what the Jets are facing at quarterback. They didn't want Lamar Miller. For whatever reason, they didn't want Lamar Miller. So now what they have is Jay Ajayi, who was a rookie last year, couldn't hold the football, wasn't overly productive. Beyond that, Damian Williams has 16 carries for 59 yards. They've brought back Daniel Thomas, who was out of the league in 2015, and then they've signed Isaiah Pede. Adam Gase wants to run the football. He's got nobody to do it with. You look at tight end, they're in decent condition there. Jordan Cameron surprised everybody, stayed healthy all year last year and only caught 35 balls for 386 yards, couple touchdowns, three touchdowns. Deion Sims, Jake Stoneburner behind him. You know, wide receiver, Nate, Jarvis Landry, Ken Stills, those are some nice options. Devontae Parker, they drafted in the first round, 26 catches for 494 as a rookie. They've signed Griff Whalen. So they're okay at wide receiver. They're kind of okay at tight end, and they're in big trouble at running back.
Yeah, they really are, and it's going to be interesting to see what Adam Gase wants to do there. You know, last year in Chicago, he comes in, and he's got a bell cow, and Matt Forte has been the offense here forever, pretty much. And then he kind of, as the year went on, introduced Jeremy Langford, introduced Kadeem Carey, and kind of made it a three-headed running situation. And I have a feeling he's going to try and do that in Miami because, like you said, there's not a guy who really stands out as really going to step up and be that bell cow. And this is a league that doesn't have a lot of those anymore. Whether you look at, you know, Jay is going to get the first crack. Can he shake some of his fumbling issues? And then you look at Kenyon Drake. He's got the speed to break it to the distance, but, you know, he doesn't seem like an every down guy either. So, you know, Adam Gase loves to involve multiple heads in the running game and use guys to their strengths. And especially without a guy who really stands out like Lamar Miller, you'd have to think he's going to try that route again this year.
Buffalo's not in good shape either. We talked about Tyrod Taylor, a quarterback last year. He had a good year. They kind of like him. They don't want to commit to him. But what has he got to work with? Now, they're in the best shape of anybody in the division at running back with Shady McCoy and Carlos Williams. They're fine at running back. Not horrible at tight end. Charles Clay is certainly adequate. You've got Chris Cragg behind him and then Jim Dre. So, you know, a couple guys you don't know a lot about. So they're okay at tight end. But then you get to the wide receiver position. The really disappointing news last week about the broken foot of Sammy Watkins. Watkins has only missed three games in 2 years, but he's been injured almost the entire time he's been in Buffalo. They don't know exactly when he'll be back. Robert Woods has shown flashes, but never played up to the ability that they saw in him as a rookie. And beyond that, you know, you're helping Leonard Hankinson, who didn't catch a ball last year. You got Marquise Goodwin, two catches. You've got Marcus Easley, one catch. This team has huge problems at wide receiver. All right, so let's round it out with the team that always has everything in this division, guys, the New England Patriots. You know, you look at the running back position, and some people might say, oh, I'm not that excited about that. But if LeGarrette Blount and Deion Lewis stay healthy, they're in really good shape. And with James White and Brandon Bolden behind them, the way that Belichick likes to use them, they'll be just fine. The problem in New England, of course, is none of these guys have stayed healthy in recent years. Nobody in the NFL is better at tight end than the Patriots, with Rob Gronkowski alongside now Martellus Bennett, Clay Harbor behind them. And at wide receiver, while we always perceive it to be a problem for the Patriots, guys, in this division, they're arguably the deepest, as they've got Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola. They just brought in Chris Hogan out of Buffalo, who they like a lot. Nate Washington, 47 catch, 660-yard guy with four TDs last year in Houston. And then they've got Keyshawn Martin, who they like a lot. So there may not be a Pro Bowler in the group, although maybe Edelman is. Now, you worry always about the injuries to Edelman and Amendola, but at the end of the day, it's not hard to see why the Patriots win this division every year. Obviously, the big question here is going to be, will Tom Brady miss the first four games of the season or any games? Is Jimmy Garoppolo ready? Why did they bring in Jacoby Brissett? I think we know that. It's going to be Garoppolo if it's not Brady. But that may be the only question facing this Patriot offense as they get ready to head into 2016, those first four games. Who's the quarterback? They got plenty of weapons for Brady once they get him on the field.
Jimmy Garoppolo with a huge opportunity if and when he gets the chance to play at the beginning of the season. Of course, I think we'll all be happy to put a cap on Deflategate and just move on once this 2016 NFL season kicks off. I'm excited to see Garoppolo perform, and it'll be interesting to see how he does in those first four games if Brady is serving the suspension. We move now to the NFC East, and we start in Washington, where this is a very important year for Kirk Cousins. Hub Arkish looks at the offensive weapons around him.
You know, Washington's a really interesting football team. Cousins had a great year last year. He deserved the franchise tag. My hat's off to Washington for getting it right this time, though. I'm not ready to give this guy a long-term contract because he did have plenty of weapons around. This is a team that has one of the bright young tight ends in the NFL in Jordan Reed. Niles Paul and Logan Paulson have been behind him forever, and now they bring in Vernon Davis. I don't know if Vernon Davis has anything left, but remember, of course, he played his college ball at Maryland. He's Ridge from that area. And so what a nice option to have there. At wide receiver, DeSean Jackson, you've got Pierre Garçon. These guys are big-time football players. Now, I'm not ready to jump on the Jamison Crowder bandwagon yet at 5'8", 185. We'll see how he holds up. Josh Doxton, of course, their first-round pick. Ryan Grant seems to be plenty. Kevin, what's curious to me about this is that their running back situation is worse than Miami's. I mean, Matt Jones last year, who they loved as a rookie, had 144 carries for 490 yards, a 3.4 average. And behind him, they don't have a guy with a carry. You look at Chris Thompson, he's 5'8", 193. Mac Brown, are they just giving up on the running game and saying it's going to be the Kirk Cousins show? Or what exactly do you think Washington's plan is?
Well, they have a lot of confidence, obviously, in Matt Jones, I would imagine, considering that they didn't resign Alfred Morris, who's been there for a few years, and they didn't draft a running back until the seventh round when they took Keith Marshall. So that's got to be it. But you mentioned that yards per carry average, and there were a couple times Matt Jones made some big plays, including as a receiver. But I think he's better as a compliment, not a number one. And they like Chris Thompson as a change of pace guy. But again, that maybe should be your number three back. So this is putting a little bit more pressure, as you said, on Kirk Cousins, who has Josh Doxton, who has an extra weapon there, but that's asking a lot out of a quarterback who had his first big season, and we'll see if he can repeat it.
New York Giants guys are not special at running back, but they're probably just fine. Rashad Jennings is better than anybody ever gives him credit for. Andre Williams has never become the lead back that they hoped he would be, but he's a nice red zone between the tackles guy. Shane Vereen, one of the most diversified backs in the NFL. Even Bobby Rainey at number four if he makes the team. So, they're deep and they're adequate. Tight end, you can't get too excited about it. Larry Donald had the big 2014, didn't follow up in 2015. Behind him, you're talking about Jarrell Adams, the rookie they just brought in. Other than that, it's just Will Tye, who's out of Stony Brook College. He did have 42 catches last year for 460 yards. And wide receiver is where it gets really interesting, Arthur, because Odell Beckham Jr. may be the best in the league. He's certainly one of the best. Victor Cruz, if he's healthy, which he has not been for the last two seasons, is a slot type 10 touchdown guy. So with two starters there, you're fine. But behind them, Dwayne Harris, who's been principally a kick returner in the NFL. I know you love Sterling Shepard, but he's a rookie. And again, we try to be careful about projecting these rookies. They are dangerously thin at the position, as good as they are with Junior at the top.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, and also no doubt about how much I love Sterling Shepard. I really do believe he's going to be a rookie impact performer, but I also think a move like that suggests that there's not a lot of confidence in this point at Victor Cruz, obviously. They're kind of a similar type player, both slot weapons, both, I think quicker than fast, but we'll have to wait and see. It is kind of a lot of pressure on Odell Beckham, and at the same time, he has done a lot of superhuman things over the years, so if you get a little bit from the tight end position, you get a little bit from Shane Vereen, the rookie Paul Perkins out of the backfield, maybe you're able to supplement what isn't at the wide receiver position from a proven standpoint.
Yes, NFL reporters are allowed to have man crushes, and it happens all the time. So we'll see how it goes with Sterling Shepard. I look at Philadelphia, and you could almost call this the sequel to the Chip Kelly show, because this is a team that's got some big holes. Ryan Matthews has been a number one back in the NFL, never really emerged as a franchise type back. He's going to be the guy now that DeMarco Murray is gone. But behind him, you got Darren Sproles, who can only be a change of pace guy. He's never going to get the ball 15, 20 times a game. And then you look at Wendell Smallwood and Kenyon Barner, who's a leftover Oregon guy. They gave a lot of money to Zach Ertz for 75 catches for 853 yards and two touchdowns. Don't know if he quite earned that, but Brent Celek at number two makes him very deep there. It's the wide receiver position that you look at. Jordan Matthews, he's okay. Nelson Aguilar, last year's number one pick, disappointed with 23 catches for 283 yards. Other than that, you got Chris Givens, and Josh Huff, another Oregon guy. You've got the remnants of the Chip Kelly regime, and the way Doug Peterson wants to run his West Coast offense, they don't appear to have the weapons. All right, guys, and to me now, the most interesting team of the 32 in this discussion, the Dallas Cowboys, because you look at that backfield, I would argue it's the best group of running backs in the NFL. You've got Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not projecting rookies, but we know he has a chance to be special. And Darren McFadden finally put together a 1,000-yard season last year. He stayed healthy. And then they bring in Alfred Morris behind him. There is a ton of depth here, and everybody raves about that offensive line. So the ground game appears to be in excellent shape. But I look at tight end. Jason Witten, I don't know what's left there. He was not a big play guy last year. He did have over 70 catches. James Hanna is all that's behind him. And then it's wide receiver where you're really excited to start to scratch your head a little bit. Dez Bryant may be the best wide receiver in the NFL if he's healthy. There now begin to be some questions. If you look at the totality of his NFL career, if he's going to be healthy, Terrence Williams is just a guy. And after that, you've got Devin Street last year, 7 catches for 114 yards. Cole Beasley, nice in the slot. He was their most productive guy with 52 catches, 5 touchdowns last year. After that, tell me if you've heard of any of these guys. Lucky Whitehead, Rodney Smith, Vince Mail, and Bryce Butler. It's deep at the top. I mean, there's star power here at each position, but the depth, you know, you saw what happened when Romo went down last year. Even if Romo stays upright this year, one of these other guys gets hurt, they could be right back in the same hole. Well, here's one other thing to keep an eye on, guys. And, Kevin, I'll come to you for a quick comment on this one. We've developed a kind of a unique way of rating offensive lines around the NFL. We put together a special feature for our fantasy football guide that will be on sale June 15th. You'll also be able to find it at profootballweekly.com. For all the talk about how incredible the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is, by our statistical breakdown, last year they were the 21st rated offensive line in the NFL. The talent is absolutely there, but that doesn't mean they just throw their helmets on the field and dominate.
Yeah, you know, they need to step up a little bit more this season, but I wonder how much of that rating factored in the fact that they had no Romo, they had no Dez Bryant at times, they had a shuffling backfield. So, you know, we always talk about how a quarterback's affected by a bad offensive line. Well, a good offensive line could be affected by a team that doesn't have enough skilled players to really make things work. So that you're right, they have the talent, they even have some depth with guys with starting experience like Joe Looney and Ronald Leary as the reserves. But you look at those five, Free, Martin, Frederick, Collins, Smith, that's as good as it gets. And as long as the skill players stay healthy, this is going to be a very potent offense.
And that is The Way We Hear It. Be sure and listen each week as we bring you the very best news, scoops, and rumors from around the league. Remember, you can listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, subscribe to us on iTunes by simply searching for the Pro Football Weekly podcast, and as always, keep it at profootballweekly.com for the very best in NFL news. Also, be sure and listen to the PFW podcast this week as Arthur Arkish and crew go around the rest of the league to break down the offensive side of the ball with the other 24 teams. You'll get the best insight into how teams are preparing their receiving and rushing core for this upcoming season. My name is Dan Mott, and until next week, this has been The Way We Hear It.
Hi, everyone. This is Hub Arkish, executive editor of Pro Football Weekly, and I'm here to let you know that Pro Football Weekly is back. To celebrate, we're giving away a collector's edition hoodie a day for the next 60 days. Just go to profootballweekly.com/hoodie, enter your email, and if you've won, we'll email you right back. While you're there, check out the site. You want an insider's guide to the NFL? Go to profootballweekly.com for all the news and analysis you won't find anywhere else. Pro Football Weekly, the best coverage in the NFL since 1967.